Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, Cav Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thanks for getting up. It's cold out there. Matter of fact, it's cold across the Midwest. My name's Michael Van Tool. This is Detroit's News Information Inspiration Podcast, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. On blogtalkradio.com. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group and brought to you by Trillion Realty. The Sunday morning team, I guess they'll be jumping on soon, and that includes, and I put a list out on social media this week, Henrietta Ivey, a political analyst, Kimberly Bachelor Davis, lifestyle editor, Christy Laster Andrews, evangelist, Stephen Cathy, chaplain, and minister and gospel artist Randall Smith, and we'll see who chimes in this morning. But I understand, hey, it's cold out there today, and it's dangerously cold. Happy MLK Day. Martin Luther King Day is tomorrow. We're going to do news and weather in a few minutes, though. But, we look at Martin Luther King now as this big, larger-than-life figure. But, back when he was out, starting out and as he was fighting the fight for our rights, there weren't always those admirers around him. Many times it was rough and tough, and he was, it wasn't all those people that the big march in Washington, that was towards the end of his career, of his life. But when he was starting out for many years, it was just him and a couple other people. The FBI had him under surveillance. He didn't have all this broad support from the public, from pastors, from people. Even the NAACP weren't with him. From the beginning, not until he had large marches and, all the TV interviews. And then after his death, a lot of people just started jumping on the bandwagon after his death. There have been people there's a cult of people that like to say that they were with him. And it's just interesting how you never heard of them with him before, but now you hear them talk about them, being with him. No, they weren't with him. They weren't with him at all. They were not with Martin Luther King from the very beginning. Let me welcome one of the Sunday morning team, Kimberly Bachelor Davis, our lifestyle editor, podcaster, author, speaker. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to our fabulous missionary, Hattie Humphrey. Good morning, Detroit, and Happy New Year. I know I'm a week late, but yes. Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year, and yes, the home of missionary Hattie Humphrey. And hopefully we'll have her on sometime, especially for the beginning of the year. We'll try to get her on sometime soon. But, Kimberly, I was just going on a rant about
I was with you. I heard
Yes. And it's true. I spoke to a historian this weekend, this yesterday, matter. I mean, Friday. And she told me she's from one of those old families from down south in Alabama. And she said, no, they weren't with him. They weren't with him. All those people were not with Martin Luther King. All that started toward the end of his life. And like I said, I hear people now talking about they marched with him. Where were they when he was out there in front of the lines and getting, you know, the dogs and the water and when the bombings were going on, when, you know, it was rough. It was rough back then. You know, it took a lot. It was, you were taking your life into your hands.
Literally.
You know, back then, it was tough. You know, the cold is so bad right now. I think we're gonna we're gonna go right to the weather because I was watching CNN this morning and it says that there's a large swath of America from the Midwest, from Canada all the way down to Mexico, freezing. And it's cold right now. Let's go right to weather because this is a life-threatening type of weather out here.
Yes, it is. So good morning, everyone. It is currently 4 degrees. You heard me. 4 degrees.
Four. Wow.
It feels like, but there's wind chill. It feels like it's negative 16. So when it's that cold, please don't go outside without a hat, without gloves, without a scarf, without something covering your face. Any exposed skin can, you know, get very cold and
frostbite,
you can do damage to your skin. And frostbite is something that we do not want to play with. But today's high is scheduled to be, or is projected to be, only 10 degrees. With a low of negative 1, we will expect to have scattered snow showers, although right now I see the sun is out. That's expected to come later on in the day, scattered snow showers. Tomorrow, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, it will be mostly cloudy with a high of 9 degrees and a low of 5. On Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 10 degrees and a low of 2. On Wednesday, snow showers will come in late with a high of 17 degrees and a low of 13. On Thursday, snow showers will continue with a high of 23 and a low of 13. On Friday, more snow showers will continue with a high of 22 and a low of 7. On Saturday, partly cloudy skies return with a high of 17 and a low of 6. So it is cold, guys. So stay warm today.
Yes, we knew it was going to come. We knew it was coming. The real winter is here. This is real. This is it. This is what Michigan is all about. And it is cold. And, it's colder here in the Midwest than it is in Alaska right now. I was looking. They said it's minus 4 in places across the Midwest U.S., but in Alaska it's 9 degrees this morning, which is which is better than what we're doing. And then the big game is tonight.
Yes,
it's going to be
cold
tonight, too. What's it going to be this evening?
This evening, we're expected to have negative 1 as a low.
Wow. Yes.
So
we'll
probably end up
game.
Somewhere. Right. So it may warm up. Right now we're at 4. We're projecting a high of 10. So maybe by the end of the day, we might at that point get to maybe 6 or 7 degrees. But then, you know, the sun will be going down. So
just wish that it was warmer today so that more people could go and enjoy this once in a lifetime. It's in Detroit. Once in a lifetime. This first NFL playoff game in decades, the first one at Ford Field with the LA Rams and the Detroit Lions. Wow. I just wish it was a little bit. I would have gone. I would have been downtown this afternoon if it was in the 30s or 40s. But this is
too
cold.
But here's the thing, Michael. We don't have Buffalo problems. You didn't have to put out an alert to say, hey, we need people to come and help shovel us out, and we will pay you and feed you. That's sad, but that's because they have an outside stadium. I don't know who was the person that approved that. I'm like, y'all get snow. Somebody should have thought about that a little bit more. But the good thing is we have a covered stadium, so you will be inside. You will be warm. They have lots of wonderful vendors in there in terms of restaurants and food choices and all that. So people can have a good time. You just got to brave the elements to get there. So
I don't know why more teams don't have covered stadiums, especially like Green Bay and the cities that get snow and cold like we do. Come on, get a covered stadium. Mm-hmm. It makes so much better. So much better. So we have news and weather coming up in a minute. There's a lot to cover, that's for sure. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we have the latest in news right after these messages. And then I also, the program is sponsored also in part by Cosine Productions and Dakima Matthews, and we're going to play a couple of her tracks as throughout the program. Cosine Productions is the producer of the songs by Dakima Matthews. They're written by her. The music is by Jamel Butler, featuring songs written and performed by Dakima Matthews. And so thank you to Dakima for your support of the program and others out there that are supporting the program too. All right, we'll be right back.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service. This segment of programming is brought to you by Sharp & Associates Insurance Agency, specializing in business insurance. As your business evolves, so will your risk. Sharp & Associates will identify potential risks to your business and explore insurance options. A plan will be customized based on the specific needs of your business. In addition, Sharp specializes in auto, home, medical, life, and health insurance. Whatever your needs, we provide a wide range of insurance products to choose from. Protect your company and your livelihood for the long term with Sharp & Associates Insurance Agency. Contact us now at 833-668-0086 or go to our website, sharp-insurance.com.
Christmas this year.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything
all right.
is gonna be
welcome all back. Right. Let me welcome a couple more members of the Sunday morning team. Evangelist, prophetess, songstress from GPT, Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews. Good morning, Evangelist, and welcome home.
Good morning, Michael Van Tool. Good morning to the amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning to our listening audience. I know I've been MIA, but I do miss you all.
We welcome you back. We're glad you're here. I want to give a shout out to Stephen Cathy Chaplin. He wasn't feeling too well last week, but we hope he's listening today, and we're giving a shout-out to him. Let me also welcome minister, gospel artist Randall Smith. Good morning, Bishop-elect.
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine, just fine. Don't tell me you're out and about on this single-digit morning.
Sure am.
You know what? You are God's man. Let me tell you that. That is great. Great. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm well. Changing things around.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, we're going to hear from the team as we go this as we move on this morning. We hear from the team later. In the news this morning, Europe, not only us, but Europe is fearing a second Trump term. The rhetoric from Trump, the threats, the accusations, the promises have Europe on edge. They also are fearing for a second Trump term. Fannie Willis, the lead prosecutor of the RICO corruption trial against Donald Trump, is now under fire. No direct evidence yet. These are accusations. They're saying that she's had an improper romantic affair with her lead attorney in the case, that she has gone over and beyond her regular staff, who are more capable and could have done it for a lot less. She chose her romantic partner as the lead prosecutor in the case. They say that others are more qualified on her staff and less expensive. One of the problems is they say that he has been billing 24-hour billings, meaning that he worked 24 hours in a day for her on the case. It's so serious that the judge is holding a hearing this week to consider the accusations and to investigate a fact-finding to find out if this is true or not. Of course, MAGA world is going crazy, loving all this, because, of course, you know, they want the case thrown out. So any type of anything like this can have an impact on that case in Georgia. It's unfortunate, and I hope it's not true either. Do you know that 10,000 people are dying a month from COVID across the world? According to the World Health Organization, right now the holidays are fueling the spread, but it also includes RSV and the flu, which are adding challenges this year. But, you know, I started wearing my mask again. I started last week. 10,000 people, that was shocking. 10,000 people around the world are dying every month from COVID. So tonight, the Lions' first playoff game is at Ford Field at 8:15 tonight. It's expected, according to our meteorologist, our weather lady. It's going to be around negative one tonight. We already did the weather already because this is life-threatening. Restaurants and bars, parking lots, vacant lots will be filled tonight, even though it's going to be around negative one. Game time is 8:15 on NBC. The Rams are 10-7. The Lions are 12-5. Unbelievable. It feels so good to say that the Lions are 12-5 and leading the NFL Central. Wow.
Yeah.
This is like we said earlier, a once in a lifetime event with the Lions. Just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Henrietta Ivy, who was on with us last week, I saw a posting, and I hope she gets a chance to call in this morning, but I picked up a story that she, I think this was her, the president of Lincoln University in Missouri was placed on paid leave Friday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
After students and alumni called for his ouster following a senior administrator's death by suicide this week. President John Mosley volunteered to be placed on leave while a third party reviews personnel issues and concerns regarding mental health after Antoinette Candia Bailey died Monday. Antoinette Candia Bailey was president of student affairs when she took her own life in Illinois, her husband and mother told NBC News this week. She was terminated for cause on January 3rd. She told her mother in December that things weren't going too well regarding the school president, that she was feeling depressed and felt the school was not supporting her in her role at the university. A friend received an email from her the day she died accusing the university president of bullying and a list of other lengthy complaints. So this needs to be investigated because this is the university president may not have handled this employee matter properly, and it's somebody that might have fell through the cracks, even though it was you know, a senior administrator at the university, it may not have been handled properly because obviously she was feeling depressed, sad about the situation. And being bullied. Yes. And that's very unfortunate, about that. Yes. All right. Let's go to the team. We haven't heard from this young lady in a while. Prophetess, good morning. And welcome back home. And I see that God has protected you on your going out and your coming in. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, God has certainly protected me, my family. We've had a blessed holiday, a blessed new year thus far, and I'm really happy about that, and I'm really grateful for that. Like I said earlier, I miss you guys, and I just pray that everything has been going well and will continue to go well in your life. I was thinking this morning, you know, a lot of people, I should say, you know, we make resolutions and we make lists of things that we want to see happen in the year to come. And often people do this every year. Some people pause in the middle of the year and write new resolutions for the next 6 months of the year. But I just want to encourage you, when you write those lists of things, to really sit with those ideas, sit with those thoughts, and resolve it in your mind. Like, make a solid decision in your mind, like, that I'm going to do this. Because it's one thing to come up with an idea of what you want your life to be like, but it's a whole nother thing to really resolve it in your mind, to come to a definite or earnest decision in your mind, or to make a determination to do something. I think this is one of those years where people that have been faithful at their craft, they've been faithful to honoring God, they've been faithful to doing what they know is right in the presence of God before people and behind closed doors. I believe that this is a year that God is going to honor those people and bless those people, even though we have like a lot of chaos going on around us. There are these conversations about MAGA and Trump and the accusations regarding the lawyers and different things have the case against Trump. I mean, come on. This is a year where we really have to focus on doing what's right, focus on what's important, and just know that God is going to back you up when you're doing what's right, and he's going to honor you and bless you when you're doing what's right. I know that there's going to be more things that are going to come out in the news. It's going to be very shocking to many of us. There's going to be, you know, leaders and people in the world that are going to fail us. But one thing I know about God is that he never fails. Like, he never fails. So I want to encourage you to go back to those things that you've written down that you want to see happen and sit with those things and start being very specific about what your year is going to be like and trust God with the process because it will happen. So those are my thoughts this morning.
Thank you. Know, news outlets are warning us also to be prepared for news this year, I guess
that's interesting because I don't watch the news.
Yes, I watch it, as you know, and that is one of the things that I heard this week. They're saying that they expect 2024 to, just like you said, Evangelist, shocking news stories this year, not just with politics, but the world is in disarray. I could just tell you this. In 2020, I remember around the new year, end of December, beginning of January of 2020, I remember having this feeling like, wow, we better buckle down because I'm not up there really high spiritual like a lot of people. I'm just trying to read and do what I got to do. But I felt like there was the door opened up on the beginning of 2020, right before COVID. And I felt like there's a lot of things that are going to be happening now that we're not expecting. I just felt like a door was opening. You know, somebody, it's cold outside and they leave the door open and you wonder, where is that? What happened? Somebody closed the window of the door. That's how I felt about negative things. And I was like, something, I felt it. And it's still here. It's still here. But I think the big important thing is to be able to hold on to God's unchanging hand, hold on to his hand, because we can get, it's a surprise, it's surprising to some people that, you know, when you look back, I still try to figure out how I got through COVID. I'm still glad about that. I mean, I know it was in 2020 and people don't talk about it too much anymore, but I still thank God, and I still think it was a miracle.
I know, that's right.
That we're all here this morning.
Yeah.
Because remember when it first started, people were checking out left and right. And if you got it, most likely we weren't going to see you in another week or two. You know, remember people were going on ventilators? They were I don't know if people remember. You know how Americans have short memories. We forget things so quick. We may remember it here, but a lot of people have forgotten that we ran out of ventilators across the country.
Yep.
Yeah.
We shut schools down. We told everybody to stay at home.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was a matter of life and death. It was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I made some decisions. Well, some people made it for me because I remember I was – I don't know if I told you guys this story. I had tickets. Mildred Gaddis gave me a ticket to Swanson's O'Neill Swanson's legacy banquet. And it was right at the beginning of COVID, right around the time the governor had not shut down the state yet, but it was a week before she shut it down. And I was on the phone with Monique Marks, president CEO of Franklin Wright, and Stacy Hunter. And I told them, hey, guys, I got to get off the phone because I got to get ready and head down to the St. Regis for the legacy banquet. And they said, Michael, you're not going. Stay on the line for a second because we don't want you to go. We don't think you should go. Do you know they kept me on that conversation intentionally for so long that it was too late for me to go. I don't know how long we were on the phone. I'm sure it was at least an hour. And we talked about a lot of things. But I thank God, and I have to remind them about that call, and I have to thank them again for keeping me on the line because that was at the height of COVID. And then, of course, we had to make a decision to shut down Missionary Humphrey's banquet, which was happening the next weekend. And I am so glad that they kept me on that line. I'm glad we shut down Missionary's banquet. She didn't want to shut it down, of course, but we had to. We told her, guess what? The governor just shut down the state. We can't even. It would be illegal for us to even meet. Because you know there was a limit to how many people could be in a group. But I remember, and then matter of fact, O'Neill Swanson did not even survive 2 weeks after his banquet. I don't think they ever came down with exactly, you know, because there was never, for someone who gave some of the biggest funerals in the world, we were not able to have his home going. And I know the family never thought anything like this would happen. They ended up having a small private ceremony. But you know, if it wasn't for COVID, O'Neill Swanson's funeral would have been one of the biggest funerals. I think it would have been right up there with Aretha Franklin and Park.
Mayor Coleman Young.
Coleman Young, yes. It would have been right up there with that in size and importance. But I remember. I'm not going to. So it was Henrietta that, or was it you? Who put that on social media?
I had it on my page. I don't know if Henrietta did.
It was you.
It on her page, but I did. I had it posted because I saw it, and I was very angry when I read the article and what happened.
Yes. Let me welcome another member of the Sunday morning team, our health and fitness person, and we were talking about what happened with this university president of student affairs, you know. But good morning to Nurse Nikki. Good morning. How are you on this cold morning?
Good morning, Sunday morning team. I am doing very well this cold Sunday morning. Glad to be here.
Great. And we hope to hear from you in a few minutes, too. Let me go to Kimberly Batchelor Davis now. And we went to the weather right away this morning, so we already did that. So what else do you have on your mind this morning?
So just a reminder, it is cold. It is 4 degrees. It feels like negative 16. We're only going to get to a high of 10 today with a low of negative 1 tonight. So just keep that in mind. But I wanted to share an experience that I had. You know, I've been traveling for the last couple of weeks, and I spent some time during the holidays in South Carolina. And I got an opportunity to visit Charleston, South Carolina. If you've never been, I encourage you to go because it is a fascinating city
it's fascinating because there are two parts to Charleston. There's North Charleston and there's South Charleston. And I had no idea. Charleston was founded on the purpose of importing slaves. 150 slave ships came to that port, that city, each day. Each day. Think about that.
Wow.
150 slaves. 150 slave ships. I did a tour, and I was fascinated because so many, I took a picture on a block outside of someone's home. So Charleston still has a lot of the remnants of slavery. You can go past, so in North Charleston, they have million-dollar homes. No black people live there. I will repeat, no black people live there in these million-dollar homes. The story that we were told was that Oprah Winfrey could not buy her way into North Charleston. They don't allow black people to live there. They have, I believe it's the Harbor Club. They have it in their charter. They don't have any black members. No women either, but no black members. And I'm sitting here with this tour guide who is Gullah Geechee, and he's explaining this, and he's showing us the market where the slaves were brought in. And he said in 2010 they had just renamed it to the City Market. They changed it from its original name of the Slave Market, which was exactly what I just said, the Slave Market. He said they took the shackles out, and you can walk past people's houses and see where the underground pits were. When slaves were brought in, they were, you know, if they were going to someone's house to be auctioned off, inspected, this is the area that they would have been put. You can lift it up and see stairs that lead to an underground something. And it was just amazing. It was also amazing to see, as he called them, hanging trees. There's a specific type of tree that grows in that area that they typically use for hanging. South Carolina was notorious for lynching. And they were decorated in Christmas tree lights. And it was beautiful. My family and I walked. We took pictures. No police ever stopped us. I said, we're walking in million-dollar neighborhoods. He said, this is a tourist area. Police won't. They won't bother you. But what was also interesting, as I said, there are no black people that live in North Charleston. All black people live in South Charleston. The restaurants and different establishments that we pass, not one black person in there, not even black people serving. I want to remind us of a scripture that the word gives us. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Michael, I don't know if you guys have talked about the Cat Williams-Shannon Sharp interview. It was hilarious to me.
I watched it partly while I was in my office, and I did not want to – I didn't have time to sit there and, you know, just gaze at the whole thing for – I think it went over an hour or something.
It's 2 hours.
But
it's two hours and 46 minutes.
Well, mm-hmm. I was multitasking. It wasn't worth my time like that. So I was working on things, and I had it playing, listening. I was listening to it as I was working. But yeah, answer this. How did that become such a social media blitz? I mean,
so let me explain to you.
took all the air out of the internet.
It did. So remember. And I'm going to go back to, I want you guys to put a pin in what I just said, the scripture that I just gave you, 1 John 3:18. So when we ended the new year, there were allegations against P. Diddy. There were allegations against or rumors circulating about T.D. Jakes and gay parties and all this and that. And there were some other celebrities named. And there were a few celebrities that were publicly making public allegations that they had been abused by these celebrities. And then all of a sudden, Cat Williams, so Shannon Sharp has done a couple of episodes, because I listened to it. I did the same thing. I listened to it while I was at work, while I was working. And I was howling. I was cracking up. And Shannon Sharp said, I have been chasing Cat Williams for over a year to get this interview. and Cat Williams, apparently, and I didn't know this about Cat Williams. Cat Williams does 100 city tours, has done 17 of them, I believe, and had just come off of a tour, I believe, and said, okay, let's make this happen. He started off the interview by saying, all liars, time's up. I think it's appropriate what Sister Lassie said. You know, we got to remember who God is. And that's my point. We have to remember who God is. Cat Williams said something that, for me, resonated. He said, I'm the richest man there is. He said, and don't confuse that with my net worth. He said, I got that on. He said, when I wake up in the morning, I thought that was funny too. He said, when I wake up in the morning, whatever I need, I have it. Why? Because I'm highly favored by God. He said, and if I don't have it, all I got to do is want it, and God is going to give it to me. I want us to think about as a people, because we spend so much time trying to make ourselves into whatever our goals are. So, Michael, at a certain point in time, you wanted to be a radio host, and you were like, okay, what do I need to do to get the radio show? And you were looking for people, and I was the same way. I was like, I want to do something a little bit different. Maybe I can be on a radio show, not host, but, you know, help somebody else with a radio show. And we do this, and we constantly run ourselves in circles, trying to be this version of ourselves that we think we're supposed to be, when God has already ordained us to be exactly who we are. God has already given us our power. God has already affirmed us, because we've given our to him. We follow his precepts. We do all the things that we're supposed to do to be Christians. We're good to other people. We've been baptized. We've studied. We preach. We follow the word. But yet and still we doubt. Why are we doubting? As Cat Williams said, time's up. I'm not doubting anymore. I'm not going to say that I'm not going to have my days where I don't. But the enemy, you don't have no power over me. Why? Because my God is bigger than you. And I've read the end of the book, Jesus Wins. So I want people to think about this. I want, and I am on fire. This is how my year started. I want people to think about, you have power. Stop giving your power away to other people. Whether it's political, when we start saying, my vote don't count, yes, your vote counts. Because if you start looking around the country at races that were really tight, it was a matter of a few hundred votes. Yes, your vote counts. Your vote counts from the city election all the way up to the presidential election. You matter, because wherever you live, if you are unhappy with the state of whatever it is, find some like-minded people and come together and figure out how y'all want to organize. That's your power. Property is power. We got to stop telling people, you can't own a house. It's too expensive. No. Why do you think people making it so expensive for you to own a house? Where I stayed in Myrtle Beach, there's a guy. He owns several Airbnb properties. I'm talking about oceanfront views, multiple bathrooms, all this, just beautiful, hot tubs, all this. This dude was younger than me, and he was like, I own like 15 properties. And I'm looking at him like, what do? He does finance. Not that that's a matter, but I thought, this guy gets it.
He's not even into property stuff. He's into finance, but he found a way to make some money on the side while he's working.
Exactly. And he doesn't look like, because I was using it as an example to explain to my son. I said, you guys are so heavy into designer stuff. And I said, it's fine to like what you like. I said, but you saw that man? I said, that man got more money than probably many families do. Generational wealth that he can pass on. And let me go back to Charleston. One of the things that was glaring to me, we don't like to talk about this in this country, the money that slavery provided for certain families. In Charleston, it is out in your face and apparent. Have money. The market, where they capitalize on the ability to tell the story of slavery. They don't have any black tour carriage tour guides. So all these carriages, we had a walking tour. He's the only black person in the city that does the walking tour. And I said, it was, he said, why did you choose me? I said, because we wanted somebody who was Gullah Geechee. I didn't want anybody who was a somebody else to tell me. I wanted an authentic. I want us to live in our authentic, God-given power. Know who we are. When you step into a room, whoever you are, that's who you are. It's not about your title. It's not about what you do. It's not about how much money you are. You are a child of God. You better walk with authority. So I encourage all of us to walk in our authority, walk in our power, and just know that when you wake up in the morning, everything you need is right there. And if you don't have it, you just pray, and God will provide it for you. He said that in the book, that he will provide it. So why are we doubting?
How inspiring. So let's not doubt. You are on fire this morning. Libby, wow. You know, it's nice how certain Sundays people like just are on fire, and today it's you. And then when you guys start talking, it reminds me of things. And so as you were explaining that, I remember when I first got assigned to Birmingham and Beverly Hills, Michigan, as a bank manager, I said, you know what, let me get a Jaguar so I could fit in with you know. So I went out and bought a Jaguar. And guess what? Some of my wealthiest customers were pulling up into my parking lot in a brown Ford Escort station wagon.
That's right.
And
that's
I'm
right.
like, I'm thinking, I went one direction. I mean, look, I remember specifically, and I remember one of them pulled up. They came in. They said they wanted to check their balance. And they said, I have a small savings account. Can you just check this out for me, Michael, Mr. Van Tool? And I said, sure. Looked it up. It was their smallest savings account. Now for me, a small savings account is like got about $15 in it, okay?
Right.
That's a small savings account for me. For this guy, the small savings account had $36,000. That was the smallest account that he had with the bank at the time. And then he had about four or five other accounts that had much more. But he was driving a Ford Escort station wagon, and it just let me know I'm out. I went in one direction thinking that's what I need to do, when they're not even thinking about that. They're thinking about what works for them, not how they need to fit in with somebody else.
Right.
All I know is that I did not need to be pulling up as a bank manager in a hoopty. That's all. I did need to make sure that it's one thing about being presentable, and the next thing is not, you know, looking at embarrassing yourself and the bank. So, you know, I did not need a Jag. That's all I'm saying. I could have got something else, you know, if I really was thinking about it at the time, because I just thought, wow, I didn't have to go get this car. Look at what he just drove up in, and he's accepted, you know, and seems to be working out for him. All right, let me go to this portion of the program is brought to you by Trillion Realty and Principal Broker Shantae Mosby. If you're buying or selling and you want to discuss decisions about a property, call Shantae Mosby at Trillion Realty, 313-566-3545. Trillion Realty, servicing the state of Michigan, your trusted partner in your home journey. At Trillion Realty, we understand that buying or selling your home is a monumental step. Our dedicated team is here to guide you through every aspect of the home selling and home buying process, making it a smooth and exciting experience. With our years of expertise, we're committed to your satisfaction. We are here to navigate your journey with confidence at Trillion Realty. All right. Nurse Nikki, what do you have for us this morning? And happy Sunday. Good morning.
Good morning again. Good morning again. this morning, I'm thinking of I have a family member that's in the hospital, and it really got me to thinking about how I haven't talked much about sepsis, and what leads to it and things we should look out for and what we should look out for tree emergencies. So I think a lot of us, because of so many stresses in our lives and financial burdens and not having a lot of resources, we will wait a long time before we show up to the ER. And then at that point, it becomes real late and critical. So I just wanted to talk to people about sepsis because it's something that people, a lot of people really haven't heard. We hear about heart attacks and stroke and diabetes, excuse me, and the different emergencies that go along with those. But we don't talk about sepsis. And sepsis can be as life-threatening as those, as a heart attack or a stroke. It can take your life in as little as 12 hours from onset. And people don't realize this. And so if you have like a potential source of infection, and a lot of times sepsis comes from pneumonia or urinary tract infections or bladder infections, but it can come from something as small as a hangnail. As long as there's a source of potential infection or infection, sepsis can set up in the body. And sepsis is a bloodstream infection, and it can kill a person in hours. So we need to be mindful of what is going on with our bodies when sepsis is taking place. So if people have this potential source of infection and they also have like a temperature greater than 100.4 Fahrenheit, if their heart rate is greater than 90, if their respiratory rate is greater than 20, those are things that we need to look out for and get to the emergency department, because after a couple hours, people will start having mental status changes, their blood pressure will start to drop, and organs will start to shut down, blood starts to clot, and that is where people get into really bad situations. And if they don't get fluid resuscitation within like a very short time and get antibiotics on board, they could actually lose their life. And so I don't want people to sit on this life-altering situation when we can take heed to and know what the signs and symptoms are when our bodies are getting into trouble. So I have a family member in with pneumonia, a really, really bad case of pneumonia, and that's one of the issues that will bring on sepsis. So that's what I wanted to bring to the attention of the team and the community this morning.
You know, thanks for sharing. And Nurse Nikki, I do have a question. That sepsis, that it's one of those things that can happen in the hospital too, right? Because when you're in there for one thing, it's one of those complications. It can appear as a complication and add to whatever you have going on. Is that correct?
It's absolutely correct. What that would be called is a hospital-acquired infection. So if someone is in the hospital and they come down with an infection or get exposed to something, or maybe they have an IV catheter, you know, IV line, or they have a urinary catheter, those are sources where infection can set up and or being sedentary and pneumonia setting in if you're exposed to different germs. So it's something to absolutely be aware of because people do go in with one thing, and if the caregivers are not careful and they bring infectious material into your room by way of dietary, by way of stethoscopes, by way of hands, you know, or visitors. But, you know, if healthcare workers are not washing their hands and transferring germs from one room to another, yes, people can get sepsis in the hospital. You know, so it's very important to make sure that your caregivers are washing their hands before they're touching you or doing any type of care on you, because hospital workers commonly transfer infections from one room to another.
Wow. I learned a lot this morning. I'm telling you, I did not know that. I did not know that happens more than I thought. I did not know that could happen. I'm just blown away. I just did not think that it can be that some of those things are transferred from one patient to another.
Oh, yeah, all the time, especially like if a patient is on the unit and they have an infection called C. difficile, which is
an infection that occurs in your intestines and a lot of severe diarrhea. It goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's one that definitely gets transferred up and down the hallway. You may have one case, and then all of a sudden you've got 3, 4, or 5 cases on the unit. And it's coming from contact from the caregivers that are going from from room to room and not taking the extra precautions that need to be taken when someone is in the room. So it's very serious, and there's protocols and screening that's set up in the ERs and hospitals so that when a person comes in with these different signs and symptoms and they have a potential source of infection, that, you know, they have to start doing things immediately to quiet the storm, so to speak, and get it under control. Like, they have to do things within 3 hours of the person's arrival, because we know at that point people start to deteriorate very rapidly. I have a sister-in-law who passed away at age 38, and she had sepsis. She also had diabetes, and she had strep throat. So her source of infection could have been the strep throat that she went in with that her and the kids were sick with. And she actually died, like, within a day or two.
38. Wow.
She was 38 years old. 38.
Well, all this is much-needed information. Thank you, Nurse Nikki. Thank you. You know, sometimes we have to hear the truth. We have to hear the raw truth, and we appreciate you, especially since you work in that profession. So thank you. And I know you got to run, but thanks for sharing.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. Nurse Nikki on the Michael Van Tool Show. All right, let me see if this young preacher is ready. Bishop-elect Smith, any words of encouragement from you this morning? I know you're probably...
I'll just say this. Good morning, Sunday morning team, and my little sister Christine Lasseter, the great prophet. Listen, we have this year, it was just dropped in my spirit. We have to keep our word, that our word be our bond. We can't break promises. We got to forgive. If we say we're going to do something, we better do it. People are leaving here. I got about 4 or 5 calls this week. Then my cousin called me yesterday. She's got stomach cancer. God's not playing with us. And so I'm not throwing no bricks and no stones. I've forgiven people. I've let people go. Now, at the end of the day, I'm not judging nobody, but if we say we're going to do something, people, we better stick to our word. We might want different things, but if we don't keep our word, we won't get nothing that we want. I made some commitments, and all I said was, Lord, help me to commit, make the commitment, give me the strength. Because if I tell you I'm going to do something, Henrietta or Christine, I'm going to keep my commitment. Because remember, I made the commitment to you, and I have to keep my word as my bond. And as a leader, I've got to walk upright, and I'm doing everything I can to walk upright. And so when you get time, Mr. Vantu, if you don't mind, I need to speak with you.
Well, you know, one thing, God has kept, one thing I noticed, he keeps his commitment, doesn't he? He follows through on his promises.
We have to keep ours. I don't know why I'm going out like this. So, yeah, you know, Christine,
I don't know.
You pull
preaching
on me
this morning. you preaching this morning.
So I'm going to say this. I'm in service out here at Prince Miles Church. But listen.
Oh, okay.
At all costs, Mr. Van Tool, it's urgency. I need to speak with you.
Okay.
I need to speak with you.
Absolutely.
I've been getting so many warnings and so forth and so on. Now it's time to be about it. So, please, sir, give me 1 second.
Yes, this year. It's time to step our game up this year. What are you saying, Bishop?
Well, I mean, my point is, it's time to keep our words. Like I said about the commitments. it's time to make the commitments for real, for real. Then, and then again, like I said, it's of urgency that I speak to you. It's of urgency that I speak with you.
You got it. You got it, sir. We'll be talking today.
All right, son of the plan.
Great, great. All right. What a morning. I tell you, I learned some lessons. I've learned some things today. I learned about from Nurse Nikki just now, but Kimberly, when you were talking about South Carolina, and it's such a beautiful place today.
Yeah.
But look at that violent, down in the Georgia coast area, those are some really nice tree-lined boulevards down there, but those days we couldn't even walk on that. Well, we would have been in chains if we did.
Yeah,
we couldn't even walk, and you could see that the history of that area, and that old pattern of thinking, it's still right under the surface there. Sometimes not even under the surface, but it's still there. And I've been in that area before, and I know how beautiful it is down there, but I did not know about that history there. And that's in Charlotte, right?
Yes, that is in Charlotte.
I did not know. It what a learning experience. And before everybody jumped on, I was talking about Martin Luther King, about how all those people were not admiring him back then. They were not walking with him back then. And isn't that just like how with the disciples? I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you walked with Jesus, they went after you too.
Yeah.
And when you were a disciple, you had to, your life was in jeopardy. Didn't they have to just pack up and sell and get rid of everything and just go with Jesus? They went out with him. They had to leave their families and everything. And how many times were they confronted with authority asking, are you with him? And some of them said they weren't they? Some of them said, no, don't know him. I don't know. Just like Martin Luther King, if you were with him, you put yourself in the line of fire. If they got everybody that was with you, if you were with Jesus, you had to really fear for your well-being. So it wasn't something simple. It's not a simple decision. You know, we got this internet. Let me stop trying to preach here. But we got this internet. Everybody, we got our smartphones. We could sit behind our phones and we can send our opinions in. We can type it up and we can email our opinions. We can get on the radio and we don't have to confront anybody. We can just sit and hide behind our microphone. And, but that's not sacrificing. That's not real sacrifice.
Nope.
I read something the other day, and I think sometimes some of you all might've seen it too on social media where they were telling us what happened to the followers of Christ back in the day. And if they found out that you were one of those Christ followers, because they weren't called Christians back then, but, you know, something basic like followers of Christ or something like that. But, I'm not a Bible scholar or anything like that. I'm not going to go there this morning. I'm not going to do that. but you paid a heavy price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to throw, for sport, throw Christians into the lion's den to see, to watch them getting eaten up. They burned in an iron chair. They made you sit in a fire hot chair where your where your skin burned, and you eventually died from the chair being a hot iron chair being so hot and burning. But they did things like that. Of course, crucifixion. But you paid a price, and I wonder today if we are all willing to pay that price the way they did back then, not even just in the Bible days, but just even for the civil rights movement. You know, the civil rights movement where, you know, they would beat you with the nightsticks, with flashlights. They would put the dogs on you. Where they, like you were talking about earlier, Kimberly, where they hung you in a tree. That they started bombing your houses back then. How many civil rights leaders died from being bombed? Their churches and houses bombed, and you were shot. You know, trying to be a leader in the civil rights movement. I think, you know, we have to think about this now with Martin Luther King's birthday tomorrow, to think about.
And we
Christ.
Have pictures, Michael. Right.
Yeah.
We have pictures, Michael, of people that participated in lynching, where you actually can see the body hanging, holding body parts that they cut off and you know, gave out to the crowd as souvenirs.
And the children standing there
that
watching.
There.
It was a family sport. Back in those days, the civil rights out in the countryside, they would everybody came out to watch it like a spectacle. Yes. Well, I you know, we've covered some hard issues. It's hard to talk about, but somebody like Martin Luther King lived it and still was being investigated by the FBI, you know, through all still being investigated. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it gives us something to think about, and thanks for sharing about that, Kimberly, about your trip and about this. We got a history lesson this morning, very informative. And I want to thank all those, you know, run into a lot of people out and about, and I just want to thank them for listening. They tell me they listen, and Michael, I listen Sunday, you know. I'm just so glad that we're available. But thank you, Sunday Morning Team. And we had a great, I think there was only two people missing this morning. That was Henrietta and Chaplain Kathy. But, you know, Chaplain Kathy, I know he wasn't feeling too well. Henrietta was on last week, but we had a good showing this morning. So thank you so much. Have a great day today, and go Lions. Let's win this game tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to have fried chicken here at the Vantool residence. So
I'll be by at 6 o'clock.
We are ready. We are ready.
Very good.
So have a blessed day. Stay warm. And then I want to play a little bit of Dykema Matthews on the way out, one of her newer songs. It's called Fallen Angel. So God bless you. Have a great day today. Enjoy the day.
Have a
good day. Stay warm.
Stay warm. You say you're an alien.
Show brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert, today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening. Everything is gonna be all right. Hold your head.